Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the Lush But Not Lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 522.
Nope.
Try again.
I changed the number too quickly. Yeah. Forgot I changed the number and changed again. Episode 521, Countdown.
Oh, it's the final countdown.
One can only hope.
I don't think you'll be seeing
Oh, have you ever seen a lazier sequel thing tacked on at the end? I mean,
nope.
Oh my God. You know what? If something's successful, make a sequel, fine. But it's like, God, when they do that, when they tack it on like that.
2.0.
I didn't wait. Didn't know there was one.
Oh.
So it'll be a little surprise for me when we get there. So let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get them. Go there and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And also don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, you can like our group, which is called the League of Show Sharers. It's our way of subliminally... That's a word.
Subliminally.
Subliminally.
That was a bunch of many syllables, but we'll
I also say supposedly. getting you to actually share an episode and become a real-life League of Show Sharer.
Yeah.
And, of course, Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month, you get bonus content and the joy of knowing you helped us out. So there's all of that. Let's dig into Countdown.
I'm really glad this wasn't a Blumhouse movie. I thought for a second that it was, and I didn't see the logo. I was like, oh, crap.
Because you're getting Black Christmas previews.
I did, yeah. I mean, I like Black Christmas.
If it had been a Blumhouse movie, maybe it would have been good.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
It would have been better. What an aggressively mediocre movie.
Like, yeah, like, it's not bad.
No.
Like, it's well put together.
I almost wish it was bad.
Yeah,
I wouldn't call it bad by any means, but it's just... It's
completely forgettable.
It's middle of the line.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, so that...
This is the Jack Ryan of horror movies.
That actress, the main actor, she is the one in You on Netflix.
Yeah, which is really good.
That show is so good with Penn Badgley, and he...
And here's the thing. That show is not on Netflix.
Well, no, it was
Lifetime. It was a Lifetime show
that
nobody cared about. Yeah. It was getting like 800,000 viewers an episode.
Is that bad?
I mean,
I feel like in this market that's got to be
I don't know.
Good.
Maybe it was worse, but it was not doing well. And then they went ahead and just put it on Netflix. And when it hit Netflix, people thought it was a Netflix show. And then they watched it and they absolutely loved it. Lifetime had already canceled it.
Yeah.
Netflix picked it up for a season two.
Yeah.
And now it's this huge, it's hilarious. This big hit show for Netflix. Nothing was different about the show.
No, they just picked it up.
It's just on Lifetime, everybody was like, it's a Lifetime show. How good could it be? Oh, it's a Netflix show? Well, now I lied.
Isn't
it's amazing
that
what a brand will change everything.
Well, that's the sad thing about there. Whenever we talk about movies that don't do well, and you know, maybe it's not their own fault. Maybe it's because of the marketing, bad channel, wherever, whoever releases it, the distributor not knowing what they're doing. But the point is, you've got hundreds of people putting their blood, sweat, and tears into something that might be a great product, and no one ever finds out about it. And this one is the outlier that got lucky.
Yeah.
They got lucky that Netflix picked it up and people received it that way. And it is a great show. I mean, if you, Joe, I think you'd really like it. I mean, it does definitely veer more towards that like teenage kind of show. But it's, you like the like serial killer type shows.
Do
like,
I?
It combines teen stuff with the stalker serial killer.
Couldn't be any worse than the Scream TV show.
Well, yeah, it's good, though. Check out You. It is really good. But she's from that, and I instantly recognized her.
Yeah.
And I really like her in that, and I like her overall, so I was excited she was in this.
Right.
She's very charismatic.
That excitement quickly wore off.
Yeah. Well,
so bad.
Can we first talk about going to a PG-13 movie on a Saturday night?
Oh, that's goodness. That's, you are a glutton for punishment.
This, I blame this, you.
You have no one to blame but yourself.
Yeah, well, I had to see it, and I couldn't get it. There was,
that was the hole in your schedule.
And it's just, I'm telling you right now, first of all, I never want to do it again. Like, I will try to really schedule myself differently. The entire theater, I will say like half the theater, was Snapchatting throughout the entire thing. And when you Snapchat to take a selfie and send it to your friends, you know your screen glows the brightest it can flash.
Right.
Front row, people in the front row section of the theater, in a pitch black theater playing a movie, Snapchatting with their flash going off to all of us. And I'm not talking about one person. One person on the bottom left, one person on the bottom right, one person on the back right. I mean, my theater was like a freaking strobe light. If you were epileptic, you would have had issues at this showing. Three people complained to AMC. This is AMC, by the way. I'm going to tell you right now, you need to do something, AMC. But someone went out behind me. They came back. They gave him a free popcorn. I heard whatever.
Oh, nice.
They kept Snapchatting. I already had a popcorn, so I care about that.
They just gave you 3D glasses. Yeah. Just so it would dim it down. Yeah.
But so like their solution was, oh, I'm sorry. Here's a free popcorn. Okay. Then I couldn't stand it anymore after the first like opening. So I knew what was going on.
Right.
It goes to her working her job at the hospital. I'm like, I'm leaving. This is my one time, not getting up again, but I'm going out to tell someone. As I'm in the hallway, someone's already complaining. A second person. I'm the third person. They say, you go in first, and then I'll catch them doing it. We do that. She goes and talks to them. That lasts 5 minutes, and they're Snapchatting the rest of the movie. And it's like, this isn't my job. I'm not getting up again. I dealt with it. I had to see the movie. But this is so freaking ridiculous that people go to movies as social events to talk and be on their phone.
Yeah.
It's like we're watching a movie.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I mean, I was mad. It was so frustrating.
I saw it at 9:15 on a Friday, so I didn't have to deal with it either.
But I went to a press screening.
Yeah.
So.
Nice, yeah.
But they
yeah.
wouldn't stop, and AMC wouldn't do anything about it. I mean, people,
they never will, though. They don't care.
But AMC doesn't. But it's kids. It's like
totally.
The kids are working there. They tell them to stop, and I guess they feel like they can't do anything about it. But so you have a whole theater of people that had a completely trash experience trying to watch this movie with people, I mean, just Snapchatting over and over. And they wouldn't do it once and send it to 100 people. I guess what they did is they would do it and send it. I don't know. Maybe they didn't like how it looked.
They're doing it
but
to
it's
themselves.
Like, but
they're sending it to the other person sitting next to them.
Oh, God, I hope it wasn't there. But you had people, I saw, you know, Facebook, people checking messages during the whole thing, but at least their screens were dim. It's that Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you need to check your phone real quick, I understand if it's dim, I'm actually fine with that. Okay, do it once, whatever. But the Snapchat thing is inexcusable.
I agree.
You cannot light up the theater with a flash during a movie. You cannot. That is,
I totally agree.
And they
you.
Didn't do it once, though, but the thing is they did it the whole movie. They thought that behavior was acceptable. To Snapchat with the flashing screen. Like, nothing in their head went off to go, maybe this is bothering
that's
people.
That's why I honestly
me.
Cannot wait for Alamo Drafthouse.
Yeah.
Like, when they get here, like, it's, you know.
You have no warning. You
no,
kicked
you,
out when you
done.
Do
Dunzo. Yeah.
But I'm like, what is the problem with these teens going to the movie? Like, how in their brain do they not go, this is bothering people?
Because they don't give a shit.
Care. And
they don't.
In their peer group, most of the movies they're going to see, by virtue of definition, attract other kids who see those who treat movies the same way.
Right.
It's not a weird behavior to them.
The experience, the movie etiquette that we adhere to isn't a thing anymore. It's not. Like,
but they wonder why people aren't going to the theaters. If I did not have to do that, okay, I love in theory theater, big screen, big sound, sharing the experience. I love in theory theater, but as you've probably gathered from some of these episodes, I hate going to the theater.
Yeah,
I love the idea of it. I hate it. If I didn't do this show, I probably would wait for everything on VOD. I can't stand this experience.
Yeah,
I think if I had the right setup, if I had the setup that I would want, I would never go
to
the theater.
It's garbage. The experience is garbage because of the people going.
Yeah.
Colby, who, you know, I'm friend of the show, and he said his friends manage a theater, and he says it's damned if you do, damned if you don't, because he's like, my friends that manage a theater have to walk the line of not alienating customers.
Because they want them, they want the money.
Kids to come
if
buy
those
a
kids
ticket.
Don't come back, then the theater can't make money. So it's like, but it's like, I don't think that's an excuse. I get what they're dealing with. But also, you've got a group of people being disrespectful, and now you're ruining other ticket buyers. So,
do you alienate the 5 or 6 kids, or do you alienate the 30 to 40 people in a theater?
The 5 or 6 kids need to go. That's
But the 5 or 6 kids are probably coming every week. That 45
year old
dude sees 2 movies a year.
That's probably true.
But it's like us. But you know, it's the right decision though.
Right.
I mean, I get that they're trying to have them come and buy their concessions, and they're probably they throw around money and they don't care. They're buying all their crap. But
I mean, just look at who the movies target overall.
Oh yeah. But absolutely.
But that is the problem.
And it's always been that way.
Uh-huh. But we don't, when we review horror, we don't review a lot of PG-13. I know we have, but it's like, I didn't even think about this being PG-13.
Right.
So if it was an R-rated, you wouldn't get as many kids able to go.
Right.
So when I sat down and it was full and I saw the entire theater looked like, you know, when you light your phones up at a concert and wave them around, I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
And talking and like their reactions. It's okay to be scared, but then for 2 minutes after every scare to talk. And then they would get up because like they didn't want to be scared during scary parts. They would get up and make a lot of noise because they were leaving. Oh, I can't do this, running out, grabbing their friends. Like it was.
If you can't handle this movie, don't go see horror movies.
It was a circus. Because
this is the lowest common denominator.
It was a circus. Again, these people weren't there to watch a movie. They were there to do this like party, like a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had that similar experience at Rambo.
Yeah.
When I was going to beat the bejesus out of a 17-year-old because. Mm-hmm. It was just like, sit down. What are you doing? Like, you don't just stand up and talk to your buddy who's sitting 5 seats down from you.
But I wish you were at this. I mean, you should have seen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This was
pulling kids out of theater.
10 times worse. I've never seen.
Can I see your phone real quick?
I've never seen anything like this. So anyway, that's my rant. But when you talk about theaters and declining sales and people not going to the theater, one, it's expensive.
It is.
But two, it's this experience is really, you know, I'm going to sound like old man, get off my lawn, but I don't think I'm in the wrong for having a bad experience.
No, I don't. I mean, you're not like Scorsese.
Yeah, you know? I'm not just like
Countdown isn't cinema.
Yeah,
no, it's not. I agree.
That's fair.
So AMC do something, but Saturday night PG-13 movie never again.
Never again, Well, lucky for you, our next 2 weeks are both rated R, so you're good. You're good to go.
And usually, I try to go during the day. It's just my schedule was too packed where I couldn't do a Friday day.
Right.
Like I had meetings all day Friday and Saturday. Me and Katie had stuff to do during the day, and I don't want to leave in the middle of the day. So
And also, I would like to point out in your last episode when we were talking about Dr. Sleep, your streak continues. It does not open next week.
What's next week?
So. There's a preview of it October 30th, which is early.
What's next week?
Next week is Terminator Dark Fate.
So I guess we'll talk about this piece of crap. So basically, there is an evil app where if you download it, it will tell you how much time you have left to live.
First off, the big flaw in this movie, never download an app that only has 3.6 stars.
I'm telling you, what are you doing?
Like,
why would you do that?
You know it's going to be a piece of crap.
And it's going to be all buggy.
Right.
It's going to mess up your phone.
So I don't feel bad at all for any of the dead people.
I wanted all of them to die, honestly.
Yeah.
I was like, can we just kill them all?
Do you find it strange when it's like they're using iPhones and they're using iOS, but then the App Store is fake looking?
But
like, why can they use iOS but not make the App Store look like the App Store?
Or even using the iPhone sounds. Like even the clicks were the same.
I don't have an iPhone, so I have no idea what the App Store looks
It's very simple. It's very streamlined, like most Apple things are.
But this one looked like a kid's cartoon
app
store with like two icon, like, you know, two images and a text like download this. Like, so I just found that strange. And the other weird thing is they did a tie-in with this movie where you can download this stupid app. So they even have this app on the App Store.
Yeah,
and they made a fake App Store.
Oh my god. Did anybody die from this app yet?
Maybe
Lord. So we were at a typical, I guess. It's funny when you watch these movies and it's like, yep, this is written by a 40-year-old because he has no idea what teenagers are. When she calls the girl like a biatch, I'm like, that's not a thing.
I know.
That is not a thing anymore. Nobody says that.
How long has this script been on the shelf?
So they all download the app, and of course.
Well, this was supposed to be a BlackBerry app.
Ah, now it makes a lot more sense.
It was a Pompeii.
Yeah, it was originally they were slicing people's throat with Motorola razors.
Ah, well done. Yes. Well done. Yeah, so they all download the app and they all get a good chunk of time to live, except for this one girl who gets a day. No, less than a day.
Yeah, like 2 hours. 8 hours or something. Yeah.
And then her boyfriend shows up and he was like, "You dummies." And then he downloads the app because he's dumb too. So they're driving home and he's too drunk to drive. And I was like, "Why are you letting him drive? Like, just don't let him take the keys away from
right.
him. What are we doing here?
To be fair, and she does the smart thing, which is get out of the car, which is what you should do.
Right.
But I don't think he would have given up his keys.
Yeah.
He was being really douchey about it.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
So here's what I didn't like about this scene. Okay. So horror movies, like as we discussed in our Scream episode, and I'm not breaking new ground here, have their set of rules. And it's always been kind of like, you know.
Trademark real spoilers.
If you do something you're not supposed to do.
Right? You die.
You die. Right. So if you're a kid having sex or drinking or doing drugs or whatever, like you die. And this one, this character did the right thing.
And she still dies.
She's like, "You're too drunk to drive. I'm not going to stay in this car
with
you."
But that wasn't what broke the agreement.
But I get that. But like
she did the right thing.
But she did the right thing.
Like the right moral thing.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, she did the right thing, but the app, which we find out, because I was playing along during the movie, trying to figure out this damn agreement the entire time, because it didn't make real quick logical sense, because I am like, what did they do? But to explain it, when we talk about the rest of the movie, the app has you look at an agreement, which no one reads, of course. That's the most realistic thing about the movie, and you accept the terms, but the terms say that you cannot do anything to try to change your fate. So if the app says you die in 3 hours, and then you're supposed to get in the car with a drunk person, you go, "Oh, I'm going to walk home," you've then know that that was
but
to
how,
cause.
Right. How do you know that you're changing, like,
but
you're not knowingly changing your fate?
So I have a couple issues here.
Okay.
So the first off is just, I don't like, not within the rules of the movie, but I don't like zooming out the message that it sends of like, you should stay with the drunk driver.
Sure.
Right.
Right.
That was like, they should have found a different reason for her to, like, for why he wasn't safe to drive or something. But, but
that is really crappy when you think about it. I agree.
But the other thing I don't like about this is that, like, well, what difference does it make?
That's the thing.
If the thing is you're going to die in 3 hours, but if you try to change your fate, you're going to die. Who cares? You're going to die no matter what.
It's the Final Destination rule. Like, Final Destination, that the rules of that movie were.
Well, if you break the agreement, you get tormented until you die.
But you don't, though.
You do.
She just. No, I mean, when this girl dies, she gets lifted in the air and dropped on her head.
Well, she didn't
have. Which would be worse?
She didn't have a lot of time, but she got freaked out a little bit before, and then she died. But the people that have 2 days left, they get tormented for 2 days.
Oh, I see.
The app tells you when you're going to die, and you're going to die either way. But if you try to escape your fate, you get tormented and then die like a horrific death.
Okay, so.
Not the accidental
death. So the next problem with that. So if you have 35 years before you die,
right?
Then you're probably going to die from, like, heart disease.
Sure.
So is it going to, like, torment you because you ate a salad?
I don't think so.
You tried to change your fate.
Yeah. You're eating healthy. I'm going to get back into shape. And they're like, nope, broke the agreement. Well, Christ.
Right.
I guess, like, I could, yeah.
Stupid agreement.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
oh, you're a cop? Put on a bulletproof vest? Try to change your fate.
Sorry.
I mean, like, this, like, well, it's not well thought out. Can we agree on that?
Yes, we can absolutely agree on that.
And we're also talking about demons that are tormenting people and also have control of a phone app.
Yeah.
Demons. Let's back up for a second.
A phone app that has Latin code.
Yeah.
Demons that have built a phone app, and I mean demons, like biblical demons.
Yep.
Hey, man, you got to go where the kids are.
With a phone app.
You got to go where the kids are.
But that's the premise. So when we're talking about things not making sense, these are phone-making demons.
Hey, like, there was a time when cutting-edge technology was a printed book.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know?
Whoa.
We were having this conversation the other day because on the podcast I have with my wife, the clip out about Peloton.
Yeah, we know which one it is.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The listeners might not.
Explain it. What is this about?
And so there's a new class that they have on Peloton, and they started doing these things that are more like shows, but you're still exercising. And so the one is called Sundays with Love, and it's the instructor's name is Allie Love. But it's like just this close to being church. right? Oh, no. Like, they don't actually talk about Jesus, but it's very inspirational.
Around it.
And they talk about virtuous things, and so it's very close to being church. And I was just talking about how, like, well, anytime you have a new medium, right?
Oh, you got to find it.
One of the first things that happens yep. is religion comes in.
Sure.
Right? When there was radio, you had...
evangelists.
You had Father Christopher Coughlin, who was very well known. It was the inspiration for Justin Crowe on Carnival.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize
like,
that.
And he had, he was like super popular, but he was also like an anti-Semite and liked Hitler.
Perfect.
TV, you had Father Fulton Sheen.
But who was you had all those televangelists.
But yeah, and then you had all the televangelists because that's where the people are.
Right.
And I was like, literally, they invented a printing press and the first book they printed
the Bible.
Was the Bible, right? The Gutenberg Bible.
Yeah.
Printed by Steve Gutenberg.
Yeah.
The goot. Right. And but like so I'm like whenever there's new technology, the first thing that comes in is religion. So
that's
like
true. Or porn.
Or porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neck and neck.
Yeah. They go hand in hand.
Well,
it doesn't
hand in hand and throat. Whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also Father Fulton Sheen was very nice. He's on pace to be a saint. They trying to canonize him. Like he was good. Seems to be the real
one of the good ones.
Okay. Yeah,
It's few and far between at this point,
especially when they're on television.
You ain't kidding.
Yeah. So she
downloads
declines,
the app,
but she declines the ride home from Drunky McDrunkerson. She ends up getting freaked out, a bunch of head fakes.
Actually, and I will say, for the most part, the jump scares I think are fine.
I thought the jump scares were fairly effective.
They
work
pretty well. I think when they get to the demon, I was like, the demon has a cool little look to it.
Like the mechanics of the movie were okay.
Yeah.
It was everything that was to justify what the mechanics were was just not very good.
No,
yeah, it didn't feel cheap. I mean, they were genuine, like, I'm going to a horror movie. I want to get scared. They seemed fine. They weren't like just ramped up by noises, like the cheap sound jump scares. They were scary jump scares.
Yeah.
And
like the last jump scare in Scream.
Exactly like the last jump scare
that was
in Scream.
Later.
Oh, but, absolutely. Yeah.
But, and according
they call it, though.
Yeah.
They call it and it's coming. You know it's coming.
But according to my teenage audience, I mean, they were having a hoot at this
thing. It's so weird to think that these are the movies that these kids are getting. You know, like when I was a teenager, I was getting Scream and I was getting like legitimately good, still talked about horror films.
You know, but I will also say that when you were getting Scream, there was a 40-year-old dude walking out of Scream going,
that could be true.
It wasn't The Exorcist.
I was getting Dial M for Murder.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I just think that you always
when a stranger calls.
And the thing is that, you know, but that while they were getting The Exorcist, they were also getting a lot of substandard horror movies. They were also getting the same people that grew up with The Exorcist grew up with The Exorcist 2.
That's fair.
But you know what I mean?
Get
so
The Exorcist 3.
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic. We covered that movie.
It was okay.
It's awesome.
It was okay.
It's great.
But my point is people tend to look back and remember the hits. And not the misses.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's a lot of really good horror coming out right now.
This is
not it.
No.
But, you know.
It's interesting that,
the kids like horror and they want to see good horror, it's out there. If they don't find it, that's on them.
That's true. Or they can't even get into it.
But,
That's also on
them. Yeah.
But it's just funny. When you were getting.
Did you download the app?
No, hell no. First of all, no. And second of all,
Kevin's like, you know what? I don't want to risk it. So, I don't want to die on the episode of Real Spoilers.
When you were getting Scream, you got Hellraiser Bloodline.
What year did that? So was that?
I think he's looking up other horror movies from 96.
Two.
You got
no. It's three.
You got Lawnmower Man 2.
That's bad.
The Rich Man's Wife.
Is that Halle Berry?
I think it might be. I'm not sure. I'm just reading the titles here. And I don't mean I'm just trying to find horror. You got The Island of Dr. Moreau, which is kind of weird.
Oh man, it's okay. There is a great documentary about the cluster F that is that movie.
Absolutely.
So good.
Horror movies. I just Googled 96 horror movies. The Craft.
Craft is really good.
Dust Till Dawn.
Fantastic.
So first three good.
I was reading bad ones, Tom.
I know. Thinner.
Oh, it's all right.
Frighteners.
I love the Frighteners.
Bad Moon.
Decent.
Bordello of Blood.
The Fantastic. Just watched it this week.
The Dentist.
Did not watch that.
The Stendhal Syndrome.
Nope.
Children of the Corn 4.
Not the greatest in the world.
They should have called it Children of the Forn.
They weren't doing that yet.
Yeah. the Trilogy of Terror 2, nope. Kevin's favorite.
Yeah, Kevin loves those.
Anthology ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you get six?
Amityville. That's how that works. Amityville Dollhouse? I've never even heard
okay,
of that.
So there was, okay, so there was a whole run of
Is
Amityville.
This animated?
No. So like they weren't set at the Amityville house. Like people,
set in the Amityville dollhouse.
They would bring the dollhouse that was in the Amityville house to a different house.
Did it look just, like the house? Did
no,
the dollhouse look just
no,
like,
like oh. There was one that was called About Time, and it was just about a clock.
My favorite was the Amityville coffee maker, personally.
The toaster was actually the one that I enjoyed. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Head of the Family, Tremors 2.
But we get the point.
Pinocchio's Revenge.
Yeah. Get it.
So that's your point, is that
yes.
Yeah. You remember the hits and not the misses.
What is it? Witchcraft 7?
Yeah.
7?
Salem's Ghost. Night Hunter.
What a great title. It sounds like something for like from Channel 11.
Little Witches.
The Craft is actually a solid also.
Is that a Little Women remake with witches?
Yeah. I believe it is. Yeah.
But yeah. So this girl dies.
We Carnosaur 3.
You know.
Back to the
I'm
cold
glad,
open
I'm
of
glad,
this movie.
I'm glad they got three of those.
Sometimes
like, good
they
for
come
them.
Back again.
That's a Stephen King one, though, right?
It is.
Is that based on We're Back, a Dinosaur Story? Yeah.
No, it's based on the Carnosaur 3. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, so now we're, you know,
so she dies
she
a horrible tragedy. Like, the yeah. demon kills her in her bathroom.
Yeah, snaps her neck on
and
a...
And the person always dies as the countdown's like 3, 2, 1, perfectly timed with.
Yes.
So it shows you the fate, though, is that if you have a way you're supposed to die, and usually it's through an accident, you know, but you do something to avoid it because you know the time, and then you die a terrible... you know, demonic murder death.
Right.
And you're haunted all the way up to it.
I don't know. Like, which is worse? I feel like
well, getting, an instant car accident death or...
I feel like getting gutted by a giant tree would be worse than snapping my neck.
But hers was a, you've got 3 minutes to live. What I mean is that the main
at least
characters...
you didn't see it coming.
But the main characters we're going to get into have 2 days,
but
and
you,
they get...
But you already have the torment of knowing you're going to die. Like, you're tormented no matter what.
Yeah.
I didn't write this movie. I'm just trying to
explain
the rules.
I know, but I'm just
rules.
Telling you it's bad. It's dumb. This is, they needed to rethink yeah. how this worked.
Yeah. So then
the premise is just wacky that it's a demon that made a phone app. I'm telling you, that right there shows you, like, how are you going to explain yourself out of that one?
Correct. So, so we introduced our main character, and she works in a hospital as, like, an intern, I guess. And everybody loves her. She's great at her
well,
job.
Well, she's, like, she's going to be a nurse. She's doing a, she's, what do you call that?
Your internship.
Like a residency or whatever.
She's trying to become an RN, so she's a nurse, but she's not a registered nurse.
Yeah, they kept
so.
Calling her an intern.
Did they say intern?
Yeah.
But whatever it is, she's doing her time right. You have to get a certain amount of hours
right.
in before you
right,
can.
Right, right, right.
And you got to take different classes.
And be
there's like an
sexually assaulted by the doctor of this hospital.
Is that Peter Facinelli?
Yeah. It's the dad from Twilight.
What
it is the dad from Twilight.
I mean, and I
Mr.
like.
Mr. Jenny Garth, I think.
Oh, is he?
I think so.
But I like him as an actor, and so he does a good job here.
He's
it's not,
a creep.
But
it
it's like
weird
oh,
for me because I watched. Did you watch Nurse Jackie?
No.
Okay. First off, great show.
Okay.
Second, he plays a doctor on
oh,
Nurse
really?
Jackie.
A so good doctor.
Mostly, yeah. He's weird, but mostly good. And so it was weird to see him as a doctor because it was like, oh, Nurse Jackie,
oh,
and then it was instant oh. like, oh, you're creepy.
You're a creepo.
But one of his aspects on Nurse Jackie was he had. Some sort of psychological condition that when it like almost like Tourette's, but whenever he was stressed,
yeah.
he would touch people inappropriately.
Oh, oh wow. God.
And so
they're just like, hey, that's a good idea. Let's just double down on
I
it.
I guess yeah. when they were casting, they were like, have you guys seen Nurse Jackie?
He's like, I already got the coat.
They just let me keep it.
Let me keep the coat. Yeah.
So yeah. So she kind of,
I just put Crapsville MD or whatever on here or whatever.
Crapsville MD. So she kind of rebukes his, come on ins.
There's no kind of. He's a creepy ass.
No, yeah.
You know, molester
yeah, yeah.
dude.
Well, initially
he's married. They show you the ring.
Yeah,
like,
it is funny that they were just like, we have to double down that this guy's a creep. Make sure you see his ring.
Right.
I just have to say, so the main actor from
Peter Facinelli.
No,
you
from you. The main actor from you,
okay.
Elizabeth Lail is her name.
Yeah.
Who I think is absolutely delightful. Same birthday as me.
Oh, how about
that?
It was.
That's the connection.
Yeah, that's the connection.
I'm just like, she's so charismatic. She has that like Lily James charm.
I can see that.
You know, where some people yeah. just jump off the screen and you're like, wow, she's so good. So I was just wanting to make sure we said her name. And then I'm like, oh, March 25th. There you go.
Ta-da.
1992. So she's.
Holy.
She's 27.
My God. You guys are puppies.
Well, that's not my birth year. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. Any year after 1986 is way young.
Well, I'm 87, so can I have some kind
I'll give
of a
you
little?
87.
Okay,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, I don't have very many good people born on my birthday.
I have.
I got Phil Hartman.
I think I have Bruce Willis and Wyatt Earp.
Oh, okay. I got Phil Hartman and F. Scott Fitzgerald.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but, I also have Linda McCartney.
Not so good.
Should I just
wait,
call
is she
you?
The one with the leg or without the leg?
She's
the second wife?
No, she's the dead wife. Well, technically the second wife. Most people forget he was married
before
her.
Oh, that's right.
For now on, I'm going to call you, what does Gatsby call everyone? Sport. I'm going to call you Sport.
I have
good sport, old
Nia
sport.
Nia Vardalos.
Who's that?
From My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, okay, yeah. Look up March 19th. I'm pretty sure it's Bruce Willis and Wyatt Earp.
All right, I will.
This is
keep
how good this movie
all.
Is. We're looking up celebrities.
I know,
that
that's why I tried to tell Joe. I'm like, I don't know how we're going to film. So anyway.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
The boyfriend is in the hospital. Am I right?
Well, you're right, but you have number one, Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Number two, Adolf Eichmann.
Well, it's not
a
Hitler,
German,
right?
Austrian SS Obstrumpfanfuhrer and one of the major organizers of the Holocaust. Like that's the
you think that's bad? I got Kevin Sorbo.
oh, in Harvey Weinstein.
Oh no! Do I at least have Wyatt Earp?
You have Bruce Willis, who is already kind of.
I mean, I'll take Bruce Willis.
He seems like a saint compared to this.
Yeah,
you have Adolf whatever and Harvey Weinstein.
Damn it! But Wyatt Earp's
Glenn Close.
Okay.
Wyatt Earp.
Yeah, there we go. He can just shoot him all in the face.
Anyway, that was.
I have blues legend Blind Lemon Jefferson.
Oh, I was like the St. Louis Blues? I wish there was a Blind Lemon Jefferson that played for the St. Louis Blues. That'd be great. It turns out the boyfriend from that, our beginning character's boyfriend
the
is
drunk
in,
driver.
Is in the hospital.
So we take it that she would have died in that accident.
Yes. Well, they show like the car, yeah. The accident. There's a giant like shard of a tree. Yeah. Through her seat.
But they set up the rules so you know that it's like if you try to do something to avoid when you think you're going to die, like she was right.
Well,
we
don't know that until
we don't the viewer doesn't learn that.
We're piecing together though.
Yeah.
See that
it's going to get you no matter what
died, so that's your first clue as to okay, so we thought
it's
she was going to die.
It's the final destination rule.
Yes. Yeah. It's final destination.
Right. Except not as good. Yeah. At least final destination was like let's double down on what gross ways can we I know. We'll drop this giant pane of glass on this kid. And watch him fold up like an accordion.
But I also have to say, and you're right, but I also have to say, we're not the audience for this movie.
We really aren't.
This is a smartphone app, teenage PG-13 horror movie. Like, people are just digging the fact that it's apps and, you know what I mean? Like, my audience went crazy and they're not even half paying attention. It's just, we're not here for the same reason.
I will say, it's tough when you get movies like Unfriended. Which I think we all enjoyed.
Which good.
And what was the John Cho
Searching.
One? Searching.
That was really good.
Like those
movie.
Those are two like that deal with technology in a smart way and use it correctly.
Correct.
So when you do something like this and you've got even Unfriended 2 I think wasn't bad.
It was okay.
It was the same
wasn't
gimmick.
As good,
it was the same gimmick. So when you have movies like that that figure out how to use the technology the right way. Mm-hmm. And can use like found footage basically like to use that genre to their advantage. And then you get
do they
this.
Ever explain it in Unfriended what is causing the things? You don't have to tell me like what it is. But
I think they
is there an
do.
Explanation? Because the explanation this one real dumb.
It's, yeah,
it's you know a, what I mean. That's the problem.
A,
is
I think,
when you
I think in Unfriended it's a ghost.
Yeah,
like. But they do, okay. But there's a reason the ghost is there.
Okay,
but it's not like an ancient ghost.
Yeah.
Like it's a revenge ghost.
I think
basically.
It's more believable. call me crazy. I think it's more believable for a ghost to possess your computer than for a demon to create a smartphone app. Like there's just certain line where once you cross over, it's silly as it sounds, but like a ghost possessing something, we're used to that. Creating an app, that just sounds so stupid.
It does sound very stupid.
Doesn't
especially
it?
When you get to the when you get to the origin. So the boyfriend is there. The boyfriend downloads, and they're in this Chekhov's wing of the hospital, where he kind of explains that she's like, "No, you'll be fine." And he was like, "Whatever." And then he ends up trying to change his fate, and the ghost kills him.
He gets the app too, and his countdown is coming. He has like 3 minutes.
He had
18.
He had like 18 hours, and then he had a surgery. He's like, "I'm going to die during the surgery," and he tries to get away. And the ghost like throws him down some steps, and that's the end of that guy. Mm-hmm. So of course
we see the dead girl. It is the girl that crashed.
Which I like that. That was a good little scene.
So, but it's, this sets up that we've only seen one die. Now he's the second and he sees her. So it sets up there's a connection. The people that you're being haunted by are...
people who died by the app.
It's personal relations. It's,
right.
You're being haunted by, you know, Jacob Marley. You're being haunted by people that have...
Right, that you've wronged.
Yes.
Right. So, of course, our idiot main character... Let's download the... She's an idiot.
She's not an idiot.
Don't download the app, Kevin. If two people have died from this app, I'd be like, yeah, it's too
but
close.
But everyone's... I mean...
Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
It's curiosity, you know?
What's the matter, Beav? You chicken?
Yes. Yeah, nobody calls me chicken. Yeah, so she downloads the app, and she's got, like, 2 days left. So she starts...
And all the doctors, Dr. Douche has 30, 50 years or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
somebody's getting, like, 95 years or some crap. So...
And it's always the douchiest characters. They set up to where, like, the people that shouldn't be living long are
And actually, living. I do kind of like when you get the, like, how to break the curse.
Yeah.
I kind of like her idea. Like, when it gets to the end, they're just like, we have to do it this way. And I was like, yeah, okay, let's kill that guy. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Well, that's the old trope of the not feeling sorry for the bad guy.
Yeah, right.
The characters are going to kill them or whatever.
Sure.
And they go back to that with the doctor at the end. We're like, you don't feel sorry for people that are bad. That's
right.
Your excuse for people committing crimes, even though they're, you know what I mean? Like,
no,
you
totally,
understand
totally.
It, but they're also murdering people,
right.
Which is vigilante justice. But they're bad.
But they're bad, so meh. So then she starts to freak out. She starts to see things. She goes to the cell phone store. MVP of the movie is Tom Segura.
I'm not familiar with him. Is he a comedian?
He's a comedian. Yeah. He has a podcast that is hilarious.
Okay.
It's
him and the priest.
Yeah, yeah. I like the priest as well.
The second priest is very funny.
Yeah. Tom Segura he's got some stand-up specials that are on Netflix.
I've heard the name and maybe I've even seen the specials, but I'm not familiar.
He was kind of in the forefront of that non-PC comedy.
Okay.
Like when that whole thing,
I can kind of tell by his delivery.
Yes,
you can tell he's just like, I don't give a
He's great.
Yeah.
And his wife is also in this movie. We'll get to that at the end.
But yeah, he's fun. I liked his character as the tech shop guy that does not care. And he's
please leave five stars on Yelp.
But he's the IT guy that's like, you know, did you try turning it off? He's just a douche that's like, I don't have time for you're stupid. Why did you break your phone?
Right. So she goes and buys a new phone. Of course, now she thinks everything's happy.
Yeah, you can't delete the app.
Can't delete the
app. Once you put it on, it's error every
time.
It is
like that U2 album. You just couldn't get rid of it.
It's just like the U2 album.
That's a dated reference, I know, but
people remember.
It's not that old.
No.
Not as old as Scream.
Right.
So, and then the app popped.
I just made a Father Coughlin.
You did that. Well, that's
reference.
Even above my head. That's
he
me.
Had a hit radio show in the 30s.
In the 30s. Oh,
he
fair.
Was forced off the radio by Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
For what
that's
reason?
That's the reference I just made. Because he liked Hitler.
That seems like legit.
Yeah, that's probably. But the they actually.
That would be an
and
issue.
He had a newsletter. It's Rally kind of fascinating. And they went and they were like.
It's Rally? Is that a Freudian slip? You said it's Rally kind of fascinating.
Oh, yeah. he had this newsletter he would send out. And they actually, it was very like pro-Hitler and anti-Semitic.
Yikes.
And he was one of those like, the Jew bankers are out to get you kind of guys. And, and they actually went and they were like, here's what we're going to do. We're revoking your right to mail that.
Oh, that's can you do that?
Well, I mean, it was during the war.
I guess that's
and
true.
But they were suing each other, and it was about to go to court. And 3 days before it went to court, like somebody in like the Justice Administration knew was tight with like the Archbishop of the diocese he was in, and I think it was in Detroit. And they were like, "How about you rein that dude in?" and then the church went to him and were like, "You're going to get to keep your parish, but you don't write a newsletter anymore, or we're going to defrock you."
Oh, yeah. And that's bad news.
And,
that's it.
Yeah, and so they
defrock
and so
anyway.
he kept his parish until he died in the 60s. But,
so weird.
But that they and so they never really had to rule on whether or not they could refuse.
Because it never got that far.
Yeah, I mean, but it was 3 days away from going to court.
I would love to hear that court case.
Yeah,
that would be
very. That would have been interesting. Yeah.
Well, how about DRIP to him?
Yeah. So she gets a new phone. She gets the app shows back up. And but there's a guy behind her that is like, "Are you seeing stuff too?" And she's like, "I'm seeing stuff." And
he's well,
like,
you can
I'm
tell he's very, I mean, not quite yet, but you can tell he's like, what app did she say was on her phone? Because, and then he later chases her out the building.
Right. And
they, but there's like
the
douchebag
happens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She like, sees, I mean, this is a good jump scare where demon hands grab her as
yeah,
she's reversing.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was a good scare.
There were some good jump scares.
Yeah, and the makeup reverses in the car. And I do think that they have a weird take on men in this movie. Okay. Where, like, the doctor is super douchey. Tom Segura is kind of douchey, but in a funny way. You've got this guy who immediately grabs her. And, like, and it's not, I'm not saying, like, it's a bad thing, but I just find it interesting that, like, most of them, with the exception of Matt, that the main character, mm-hmm. yeah. Matt, and the other priest.
Sister's
like those
kind of a douche.
Sister is a big douche.
So, I mean.
That's true.
And I get that she's a teenage girl,
I guess that's true.
Girl, but
all of the characters that surround Matt and. Mm. The girl
yeah.
are all
okay.
scumbags.
That's good guy.
Yeah, I didn't know where that was going.
Can you explain what was the situation? Who was the black lady the sister was staying with? I didn't understand.
That was like their babysitter. Because the dad
that
was
has
like,
a bed there and sleeps there?
I think
stuff?
She slept in the dad's bed.
Okay.
That was
I just, it's
I
weird because
it.
I didn't under, like they don't ever set it up. It's like the dad's there, so they have a father. It's not like they're adopted or have a foster home. And then in the next scene, like she's at home and an older black lady takes her phone and is sleeping in the house.
Oh yeah, I was.
But they just don't ever.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
So like,
I don't.
The dad was leaving town.
Now I could have been distracted.
Right.
And I mean, seriously, like I could have missed something. But
no,
I was like,
I took it as the dad's leaving town. She wanted to go stay with the older sister, and the older sister was like, "Nope, mm-hmm. no, thank you. You're kind of crazy, and I just caught you having sex with your boyfriend, so yeah. no."
I could buy that she's a babysitter. I just didn't hear the explanation. So
yeah,
I'm like, that was a
she's
weird.
She's like, I have to stay. If I don't stay with you, Miss So and So has
okay.
to stay here, and I don't want that to happen. She's like, you're on your own, kid.
Got it.
Yeah. So now they're trying to figure this out, and they go to the chaplain of the church. Oh, we should say that like
there's a regular priest,
the chaplain of the church, and then he's like, I don't believe in demons. And I do like where
yeah,
Matt's
like,
what?
He's like, they're not demons in the literal sense.
Yeah.
It's a metaphor.
And he was mad.
That's how most Catholic priests
it
are.
Is,
I mean,
yeah.
I went to Catholic schools
yeah.
and
they get pissed if you ask about stuff like that.
They're yeah,
like, what
they're
are you talking
they're
about?
Just I mean, they're and they will like, OK, like it exists, but like it's not existing for you.
I go
like it's not a you know, like they're like it's a very rare occurrence. And let's deal with like real options.
This
first.
Is what I will say. I have been in the room where the kid who was quote unquote possessed.
Right.
Was.
Spoiler. You were that kid.
I was that kid in the 30s.
It was a girl.
Well, you're reincarnated.
No, it was a boy in real life.
It was
a girl.
Yeah. The room where that is, it still exists. The whole thing exists. It's the only part of where I work that has not been renovated.
It's like who? It's like buying that house that John Wayne Gacy lived in. Like,
yeah.
who wants to do anything with that?
They don't touch it. Like everything around it has been renovated,
yeah.
but they've left that. There's a door.
Is that a historic thing?
No.
It's not preserved.
No.
It's just, okay.
It's dilapidated. It's not in great shape. There's a door that the only door you can get to is like there's no label. There's no nothing.
yeah.
It's just a door. In a building
opens
you
up to a wall,
you
a brick
I mean,
wall.
Kind of like you have to know where it is, otherwise you'll yeah. never you'll walk right past it. There's something wrong in that. Like as soon as you walk into it, there's something wrong. And
okay.
I was like, I don't like this anymore. I'm gonna get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up Catholic, and maybe that's just it. Maybe it's just ingrained in my brain.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, so they go to the young priest. Who's
hilarious. Listen to rap music with smoke all around.
Right, right.
And
smoking. Well, they do have like an incense thing there, but I was like, I wonder if they put that there just to be like,
just for the
well,
rating
so that
or
it
whatever.
Well, that it
yeah.
gets rid of the smell and then.
Oh,
whatever.
Okay.
So
I took it as he was listening to rap music and smoking a doobie.
Yes,
but,
yes, that's why I took it as well. Yeah. So this is his jam. Like he is super excited that he finally yeah. gets to.
Who is that guy? I mean,
I don't,
he's
I've
someone.
Seen him before.
He's a character actor,
yeah.
comedian. I'm gonna look him up, but he was great. I thought he was really good.
Right.
He's one of my favorite.
No, I thought he was really good.
People in the movie.
So he figures out that if they can get into the app and figure out what's going on, they can. It's a curse.
Is it Valente Rodriguez, Father David? Is he the or is he the other one?
He's the other one.
Okay.
He's not Tony Hale.
yeah. Right. We can't afford Tony Hale. So
yeah.
Can we get this other guy? So basically he says that this is a curse and they go back to Tom Segura to like jailbreak the app. so they can figure out what's inside the app. So they go, and there's a bit, you know, like they see all of this Latin. The gal takes a picture of it. She's got all this Latin written down. And then she sees everybody who's downloaded the app. Turns out Jordan, her sister, has downloaded the app as well. So, yes, that's it.
His name is PJ Byrne.
Yes.
He was in The Wolf of Wall Street. I think I recognize him as one of the just funny Wall Street guys. There. He was in Rampage? Who did he play?
Oh, he's like one of the doctors.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, okay.
He's a funny guy.
So they figure out that they can add time to their clock. Right. Well, they do.
Like, I mean, they do, but.
Right. So they add the time to the clock and then everything's okay. And then she, I do actually appreciate that. Like, they don't immediately hook up. Like, they're definitely into each other.
Yeah.
But he was like, he goes to sleep on the floor. And I was like, yeah, right on.
But this is so, I agree. I like this part. This is so nice that it isn't that horror movie trope that a movie like Scream would make fun of. That,
sure.
You know, and they have sex immediately and all this. Like, do you want to be alone tonight? No. They both live alone. And that makes sense that you've gone through this. Yeah, stay together. And then she's like, you can sleep in the bed. But she doesn't say you can come hook up.
No, she's like, you don't have to sleep on the floor. Yeah. Like, you're good. So we get to later in the evening. We see his arm kind of like around her.
This is good.
It's a good scare. It's a very good scare. Yeah. And she was just like, you know, she hears somebody moving in the hallway, and then she's like, you know, says, Matt, do you hear that? And Matt comes through the door and he was like, what?
And
then all of a sudden there's a
creepy
demon arm or whatever. So they go back to the priest. They have to figure out a way to supernatural it. This is something out of Supernatural. Yeah. This is what they would have done, is like, they would have figured out that they could use rock salt to stand inside a circle. And they'd
I
be
feel
okay.
like this is any, anti like demonic
just
horror movie. I mean,
use
this is
salt,
but this is a circle of salt that's
right.
been
yeah.
since yeah.
right and paint. I did like that move where she was like,
make it stick.
I do like where she's like, can't they just blow it away? And he was like, that's a good point. Yeah. They could do that.
I've never thought about that in other movies. Like, I just figured that the circle of salt was somehow like impenetrable, like they can't interact at all with it.
Right.
I thought that was interesting that they actually brought that up, that you could just somehow get rid
just
of the salt,
push it away.
So yeah.
So yeah. So they and then it starts to work. Matt's time is running out, so they're all inside the circle. This is where we see Matt's baby brother.
Yeah, the demon kind of pulls a Pennywise.
He does a little bit. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
We get to see the demon for the first time. I was like, it's pretty good looking. Like, it
decent
looks,
design.
Looks decent.
Yeah.
Matt, being dumb, walks out of the circle.
It's not dumb. It's they just like Pennywise. I mean, they kind of hypnotize you. The demon finds your innermost regret, someone that you've wronged, and they torment you.
Right.
He's like in a trance.
Yes,
so,
correct.
I mean, he's
so
not dumb. He's hypnotized.
I guess that's true.
Okay. I took that as it wasn't like, oh, I'm dumb.
Basically, yeah. He walks outside and gets hit by a car.
Yeah, they distract you with something you care about.
Right.
Because
he stole his brother's whatever.
But it's the Georgie with his sailboat.
It is Georgie with his sailboat. That's true. Gets hit by a car. We lose Matt. I was like, well, okay. That's interesting. We go back to the hospital. There was an incident where the doctor pretty much forces himself onto our main character, and she kind of fights him off. And all of a sudden, then he comes back with a countersuit to basically. Ugh. And I was like, yeah, I could see this happening.
I know. It's so creepy. It's like, he got out ahead of it.
Yeah.
And then claims
starts blaming her.
Sexually harassed him.
Right. Yeah.
I just question if HR would really believe
that. They would not.
Yeah.
No.
But for the sake of keeping this movie 90 minutes, I'll allow it.
For sure.
Yeah.
So she kind of gets suspended in the process. So she realizes that
he asked for suspension, but she walked out. She was so frustrated. So I think she lost her job. And that's why when she comes back, she's like, I want my job back.
Oh, that's true. She does say
that. She kind of quit by walking out.
Yeah.
They just don't show it.
Right. So we go back to the hospital, and we realize she kind of...
Oh, the girl got stabbed in the process
of trying to save.
So, they all tried to save Matthew, but they couldn't.
Douchey doctor is like, not hitting on her, but being like the cool doctor and stitched her up and took care of her.
And just touchy. He's very like, you'll be okay, hand on the shoulder.
Yeah.
So not like in an inappropriate way, but he's touchy. And knowing the past, that's creepy because of...
Right.
Yeah.
And she realizes that, okay, if we can't stop the clock... Like, because the deal is, if you can make it like a second past the time you're going
to
die.
You have to prove it wrong.
Right. You have to prove the demon wrong.
So you either have to live longer than it says you were going to.
Or
die sooner.
And the first thing she wants to do is she's like, we can kill someone and to stop the clock. And the priest is like, whoa, I was thinking more like, let's outlive the clock so we don't have to kill someone. But they're out of options. Her sister has minutes to live, and she's 3 minutes after that. So at this point, she comes up with a plan that we don't hear about. But in her head, she devises
it. She basically starts firing on creepy doctor, lures him into the Chekhov's wing. And then tries to kill him.
Oh, and he's so creepy. I like this. Like, she's playing like hide and Marco Polo.
Right. Tries to kill him, but the demon won't let it happen.
And it's also like, you know, on the one hand, this movie feels like it was written by a 45-year-old.
Sure.
With the biatch and stuff like that. But on the other hand, it's like, who seduces somebody like
that? That is very true.
I'm like, no adult male would be like, ooh, this is so sexy and hot. They'd be like, you're weird. This is dumb.
I think he's just a super creeper.
I've got 15 minutes. I ain't got time for this. Right. Like,
I know you'd think. I mean, this guy is he's a creeper. He's a married, hits on people he works with, corners them, creeper guy. He's into some weird stuff. I know what you mean. Like, yes, logically, yeah. Yes.
But
like,
I just don't see anybody like this is just dumb.
Yeah, it is dumb.
I'm like, even if you're legit, you totally killed my boner. You're so weird.
But it is
dumb. You're so weird. I can't maintain an erection.
It's dumb.
It's
dumb that this worked, and she executed it as a final option, fail safe. Like, all he had to do was not follow her, and then everyone's dead, and this doesn't work, right? Yeah. Like, she counted on the fact that he would come. You can follow me or not, and that he would. Like, he could just be like, nope.
No, thank you.
But anyway.
So she
hits him with a crowbar.
She tries to kill him. She doesn't kill him.
Demon pulls him away.
Finally, her only option now is to kill herself. So she has a vial full of morphine.
And we've seen this earlier. Was it Narcan? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Chekhov's Narcan.
Right.
So they have a person come in who's ODing, and they hit her with Narcan, and it reverses the effects.
Right.
By the way, that's not what happens. There's a lot of more stuff that happens when you get hit with Narcan. So this movie just kind of dumbs it. Like when so she injects herself full of morphine. Our main character dies early, breaks the curse. And then the sister kind of freaks out, goes over to her, and there's she has written Narcan here.
It's a decent plan. I mean,
I thought it was a good plan. She sacrificed herself.
But I still don't think it would work within the rules of this. Like,
I do, 'cause she was legally dead.
Like, Narcan doesn't bring you back to life.
No, it reverses. Yeah, it does not.
Like,
it,
if you're
I was
dead,
she would be declared dead.
No, once you die, you die.
Yeah,
no, people have been brought back to life. They've been declared dead before.
I mean, that's true.
Life.
But I feel but like Narcan doesn't do it.
But Narcan doesn't do that.
Narcan, you have to administer. I have Narcan in my car. That you have to administer like while they're alive, because once the body, like, Narcan isn't like the adrenaline shot,
yeah. Right?
Like, it's not like that. It reverses the effects of the OD from the drug.
I took it as she wasn't breathing any longer, and her heart wasn't beating. I'm
which is fine, but the Narcan doesn't reverse that effect. The Narcan doesn't kickstart your heart, according to Motley Crue.
Yeah. I just don't know enough.
Motley Crue should know about
if anybody knows, yes. It's Vince Neil.
But I questioned it too, but then I'm like, well, I guess she was like declared dead. Like, she was dead enough for that few seconds that it would have been. In this movie, she was like dead.
She's dead, dead.
She was dead until she did the Narcan.
Right.
Now, if it doesn't work that way, then.
Yeah, like, I don't think it would have worked that way.
So anyway, they beat the demon. Apparently all these women come forward, and the doctor gets screwed. Like, not screwed, but gets sent to jail.
Here's a better ending.
Okay, please.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, she ODs, right, and dies. And then the sister frames Dr. Weinstein for the murder.
Oh, I like
that. And that's how they get vengeance on the doctor.
So she saves
her sister, and we put the doctor in jail. But our main character dies.
I like that.
That's what I was thinking they were going.
That's a
much better ending.
How are they going to get away with? I mean, she's beating the doctor with a crowbar, which, again, he's a douche, but you're not
because the sister says he was attacking me.
I thought it was going that way. Yeah. They were going to find him.
Which
and frame
is
kind of,
I have a feeling that's what they do, because even there's another nurse that comes forward. She's like, I know what happened. I believe you.
Oh, yeah.
You. And
yeah.
If you go forward, I'll come with you.
Yeah. And then they all followed.
Right.
Because you know this guy wasn't his first rodeo. Right.
No, absolutely.
Because
not.
If there's anything history has taught us, it's that if multiple women come forward, then they'll not believe the man.
Yeah, right.
It always fixes it.
Oh, hashtag we stand with you.
Yeah.
So they go into the mom's grave. Everything's happy. All of a sudden, a bing comes up. Oh, we should say that earlier in the movie, Matt and our main character gave Tom Segura their credit cards. And I love the line where he's like, I got a Tinder date tonight. Like, I got to tell you, I haven't matched very often, so this is a big deal for me. So they give her the credit cards.
But you can tell countdown, that he's a douchey character because he gets it.
Yeah. Right. So countdown 2.0.
Oh, but this is so,
on her phone. Update completed.
As mediocre as the movie was, like, I would have been fairly entertained had it not been for all the theatrical stuff. It was okay. But then when that tags on the end, it just instantly makes it so gross.
It's also a very bold move on the creator's part to, like, yeah, we'll get a sequel.
But everything is trying to do this.
But movie like this does tries, leaves it open.
But it's like, if it's a successful, yeah, you can set it up with, okay, the app is back and all that. Like, I had to tag it. I just hate that lazy.
Yeah.
So mid-credits.
I left before this.
Okay. So Tom Segura is on the date.
Okay.
With his wife, his real wife.
Okay.
Is oh, in the that's who.
That's his real life wife, Christina P is what her name is, like, very hard to say.
Gotcha.
So she goes by Christina P. And it's going very badly. And
he's a douche. The waiter's like, we're closed.
Yeah.
And he's trying to take away a wine with a little sip left. And he's like, he's trying to get every inch.
It's just very funny. Those two together are very funny. They have a podcast called Your Mom's House. Okay. And they are very funny together.
Husband wife podcast, the worst.
I got to tell you, I kind of agree, but they.
I was,
no, I agree 100%.
No, I kind of agree. But they are very funny together. So yeah, and then the lights go out and he gets attacked.
You hear a demon.
But like, they don't explain why he lost all his time. Why would he lose all his time?
All lost their time.
Yeah, but he had like 35 years.
They had 45 years.
No, our main characters had like 10 minutes.
No, not when he fixed it. He fixed them all at the same time.
Yeah,
But he started
with more time.
But I think once you tinkered
with the thing. Yeah.
So you're saying once you muck with it, you're
you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. But man, like I said, aggressively mediocre.
Well, that sucks because if they do make a second one, you want him in it. But Judge,
you really did.
But it opened in seventh place, so I think we're okay.
But that Elizabeth Lail is great. Go watch You. That's your video recovery.
You is great.
And Penn Badgley is really good. Like, he's the guy that was in Gossip Girl, one of the main characters. And but he's in that. He's really creepy. He plays that character beautifully. Like, it's creepy in the perfect
it's
way.
A lot of fun. Yeah. It's a fun show. So.
All right, I'll give it
I
a
mean,
look.
It's dark, but fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. Of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month, all sorts of bonus content, and you get the Help Us Out, which that's a good thing, right? And then, of course, don't forget to find us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. So coming up next week, not Dr. Sleep. That's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, King Mudbeard survives.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.